I'd love to hear the story behind that. If you back the preacher tonight, nobody's going to use the talking stick on you. Amen. Aren't you glad to be at camp meeting? Praise God. If you'll forgive my voice, I preached an outdoor meeting last week and then preached last night. I believe that voice or no voice, we're going to hear the voice of God this week. And I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in this meeting. Thank you so much for your attendance here tonight, and just appreciate this opportunity. I spoke with Brother Hatfield yesterday, and he was heartbroken that he could not be here, and just wanted to touch base with him and just know that he is still carrying a burden for this meeting this week. He's praying for us, praying for the preachers, and I appreciate that so very much. And don't you love that visual aid on the wall behind me? Amen. On Christ, the dove was visible. Yes, it was. Can I ask you tonight, is the dove visible on your life? Amen. Amen. I appreciate what all has been said, the songs that have been sung. Be turning with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 3, and the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Great to see everybody that's here so far in this camp meeting, the pastors, the preachers. I'm glad that James showed up. I'm glad that my pastor is here to back me up, to set me down, to take the mic when I hand it to him. Amen. I love Pastor James Gans. Appreciate their ministry. Appreciate Sister Emily coming with them. And always a blessing for her to be here. And appreciate Brother Michael being here. Looking forward to hearing Brother Touchton preach in the morning. Looking forward to hearing Brother Cisneros this week. I want you to know that message that Brother Cisneros preached last year. I spoke with somebody just this past week about the message that he preached. It left such an impact on my life. He preached about collateral damage. Isn't it important for us to perfectly follow the will of God? Amen. I appreciate men that have a word for the hour. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. Men much greater and more equipped than I could stand behind this pulpit, but we count it an honor. Luke chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse number 15, read a few verses, and then we'll move to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 15, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. I want to say how much I appreciate my mom and dad being here tonight. Got to hear him preach yesterday morning on Father's Day. We had a tremendous service. Amen. I'm so glad that they are here tonight. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Chapter 4 and verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. From these texts here tonight, I'd like to preach a little thought. Pentecost, and then the rapture. Pentecost, and then the rapture. Would you help me pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, what a responsibility, Lord. What an honor to declare your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would fall upon me now. Fall upon this congregation, Lord. Holy Ghost, would you move in this house, I pray. On this first night of camp meeting, Lord, I pray, God, that you would set the tone for this week. Prepare us for the things to come, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that I feel walking up and down in my soul in this house tonight. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for what we know and what we feel in this house. We give you praise and glory for what you're going to do. Could we just give him some praise here tonight? Could we just give him some praise tonight? Come on, say something personal to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Lord, you have been good. Thank you for keeping my family this week. Lord, I just want to open up my heart and open up my spirit to you right now. That you would speak to my heart those things that you would have for me to hear. While the Spirit is speaking, Lord, let us have an ear. Holy Ghost, minister in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We find in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Well, the question of the day, it seems in many places, do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture? You know the common answer. I wouldn't want to try to serve God without the power of the Spirit. We know that to be saved, to be born again, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth that God hath raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But there's a point in time in the life of every child of God that God desires us to move to the next level, to the next realm, to the next aspect of Christian life. I agree with the song that was sung tonight. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days when men rise as John the Baptist did under the mantle and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There were things that John the Baptist preached against, and there are things that we must preach against. But there were also things that John preached for, and there are some things that we ought to preach for. The days of Elijah, he was preaching, and we find in Malachi chapter 4, he said, I'll send you one as Elijah the prophet under the same spirit. He'll come, he'll be the forerunner. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we find John the Baptist, he says, behold the Lamb of God. And the song we sang tonight, the same message that Elijah preached, the same message that John the Baptist preached, behold the Lamb of God. And we find in Revelation that the Spirit and the Bride are preaching the same message. Behold, he's coming, and you're welcome to join us. I said you're welcome to join us. I still believe tonight that before the rapture takes place, there's nothing holding back. Please understand the preacher here tonight. There's nothing that's holding back the coming of the Lord. We are where we are in history by the prophecy of the Old Testament. We've never been where we are right now, according to prophecy in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. But you've got to understand that until the trumpet sounds, we are in the last of the last days, and he is pouring out his Spirit. There's a visitation that's coming. Before the prophets of Baal were destroyed, the altar was repaired, and fire fell on the sacrifice. I still believe tonight that there will be a visitation before the vindication. I believe he's pouring out his Spirit in these last days. I feel the Holy Ghost. Matthew 25 speaks of 10 virgins. They were there waiting for the bridegroom. They heard the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They were not just awake and lucid, but their lamps were lit. They had made preparation. Now we know that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish, but the fact that they were virgins did not make them more foolish than the ones that were wise. The only difference that we find between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and I believe here, if you'll receive this on the first night of camp meeting, the only thing that separates someone who is wise and in preparation for the coming of the Lord, the only thing that separates them from the church at which Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, the only difference between those that are ready and those that might miss the rapture is the oil that's in the lamp. I come to preach tonight that Pentecost is coming before the rapture. I believe in preparation. The Spirit of God would speak to this house and to this camp meeting and let us know that he's still pouring out his Spirit in the last days. The rapture is not going to wake up the church. Those 10 virgins, they were awake. They were waiting for the bridegroom. They were not just lucid, but their lamps were on fire. There was oil in those lamps. The rapture, when it comes, it will not wake up the church. Matthew chapter 24 says, But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Can I preach an old school message tonight about being ready for the coming of the Lord? For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to say it again. The rapture is not going to wake up the church. If you have your ear tuned to the Spirit, Revelation says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride is awake. The virgins are aware of what's going on in this hour. But I want to ask you, do you have enough oil in your lamp to take you all the way to the midnight hour? The rapture, it will not wake up the church, but it will take up the church. Oh, there's coming a day we're going to escape out of this old world, but you're going to have power. I said you're going to have power to stand until the rapture takes place. Lift your hands right here and help me pray. I need your Holy Ghost. Oh, I need your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear. Now, we know that the disciples were concerned. The apostles were concerned in the book of Acts. And chapter 1, wilt thou at this time? They were still stuck in the mode where Peter was. No, you're not going to prison. We're going to fight with you. Peter was not there when Jesus spoke in Pilate's hall and said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants rise and fight for me. But I believe that even they were still kind of in this mode, in this attitude, if you will. They were still concerned. They wanted to know, Jesus, when are you coming back to set up your kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And I'm not a date setter, but if you believe that 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord, and according to the days of creation, the first 6 days and the seventh day God rested, I believe that the day of eternal rest is right around the corner. I said, I believe the day of 1,000 years of perfect utopia is right around the corner. But before that comes, my friend, I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm preaching to you here tonight. There's nothing holding back the rapture. I said, there's nothing holding back the rapture. But our text says that the Father has that information of his own power. I said, that's proof of the Trinity right there. I said, that's proof of the Trinity right there. The Father knows what day that the rapture will take place. But they're looking at Jesus. They said, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom? They were under a constant threat after Pentecost. They were under a constant threat of persecution. But every time that they were persecuted, they remembered the words of Jesus Christ. He said, your source of power is going to be found in that upper room. Your source of power until the kingdom is manifest. Your source of power until I come back and take my church. Your source of power is going to be the Holy Ghost. You shall be baptized not many days hence. They were under a constant threat of persecution, but they were also under a constant flow of the power of God. Persecution did not blind them to Pentecost. Rather, it made them more bold to look for the kingdom that was to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if we'll have to endure persecution as the church has around the world. But I've also got to look at the United States. And I'm not anti-America by any means. Oh no. But I've got to see that the gospel-fattened Western culture that we live in, we must be careful that we don't get so caught up in it that we don't remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He Himself closed out the revelation of Himself and said, "Surely I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Yes, they were under a constant threat of persecution, but the Holy Ghost was constantly falling on them. In chapter 2, it fell on them. In chapter 3, it gave them power to raise a lame man. In chapter 4, they were persecuted, but they went back, and the pressure of the situation drove them back to the upper room, and they received more power and more boldness. And the Bible says they spake and they preached the word of God with boldness again in that hour. I don't know tonight if we'll have to endure persecution, but I believe as the true church of Jesus Christ that every time they came under persecution, they did the same thing. And I feel like if we've got to endure persecution in America, if we do, we'll do what we've always done. I said the church will do what she's always done. She'll go back to the upper room. I said she'll go back. I don't know how long we'll have to endure, but Jesus said, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." How you gonna be saved, preacher? I tell you what's gonna keep me. It's gonna be the power of God in my life. I don't know if we'll have to endure persecution, but I've got to be real honest with you. I'm not looking for persecution. I'm looking for another Pentecost in my generation. Without a move of God right now, Brother Touchton, I don't know if our generation would make it through persecution. That's strong language. But you have got to know where the church of today is right now. On the verge of running out of oil. On the verge, if we'd be honest, on the verge of the lamps being empty. Oh, the fire is still burning. There's still a little bit of oil in the wick. But what happens when the oil runs out and the wick begins to burn? All you see is smoke. I said, all you see. And there's a lot of folks in my generation, they're just chasing after the smoke. I said, they're just chasing after the smoke. They'll drive to here and there and yon to see where the smoke is coming from. But if we'll get oil in the lamp, the smoke will dissipate and the flame will burn brightly once again. And if that same spirit that dwelt in him dwells in you, he shall also quicken. Jesus said, "You don't know when I'm coming, but you know what season that the fig tree starts putting on fruit." The only thing that happens after a fig tree is pruned is it starts bearing more fruit. Oh no, he lays the axe to the root of the tree. He's not going to prune that fig tree from the root. The one that he lays to the root is the one that's going to fall where it lays, because it's not bearing fruit. But every tree that he prunes is going to bear more fruit. And if I can understand the season, that it's a season of revival, that it's a season of the last days. The promise was given that the Spirit would be poured out. I've got to know the Holy Ghost is a quickening me. The rapture is at the door. I said he's coming, and he's coming soon in this hour. that quickening reminds me of the rapture. The pressure of the situation drew them back to the upper room where it all began. The persistence of the saints. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection." How was he raised? By the Spirit. By himself, by his own power. It was not possible that he could be holding of the grave. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. That's got to be something that is otherworldly than this. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. What did I tell us? Who are kept by the power of God. If you want to be kept until the rapture, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, if you want to be kept in the last and evil day, when evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and the tares are coming up with the wheat, you need the power of the Holy Ghost, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh yeah, the rapture is going to reveal who's been having Pentecost. I said the rapture is going to reveal who the wise virgin is. Who are kept? That word kept simply means to guard. I don't trust my flesh and my spirit to guard me, let alone Brother Farrell, to guard my family until the rapture. Who are kept by the power of God, guarded to protect by a military might, either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from fleeing. I don't think that the Lord is interested in keeping us from getting out of here, but I feel like he is interested in preventing a hostile invasion in the church. And if we're going to prevent a hostile invasion and something coming under the door, I feel the Holy Ghost, some kind of a false doctrine that's trying to creep on in, some kind of a false sense of confidence of who we are because we're Pentecostal or because we're a holiness folk, we've got to understand we need to be kept. We must be guarded by the military might of the power of God. How many knows the military might of an unchanging God is the power of the Holy Ghost? Oh yes. Pressure of the situation drove them to the upper room. The persistence of the saints in the New Testament, they were persistent because they were kept by the power of God. Lastly, we must understand in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I can think right off of this hand right now, two things that are according to the counsel of the will of God. He said, number one, this is the will of God,
even your sanctification. And Ephesians says in chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be sanctified, be kept by the power of God, and be filled with the Spirit. He said that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. How is the word of truth preached except by the Spirit of truth? How is truth kept pure except by a people who earnestly contend for the faith, the gospel, he said, of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh yes, we see the pressure of the situation in this hour. I believe there are some persistent saints in this house, and we are operating in this last day under the power of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. The rapture will not wake up the church, but it will take us to where we're going.
Lift your hands with me and love the Lord right here, would you? Oh God. Oh God. Pentecost. Let me ask you, Pastor, please do not respond in the affirmative or the negative. Is your church ready for the rapture? Or would you like to step back into your pulpit and watch as the Holy Ghost falls one more time upon your people, and they are quickened, and they are encouraged, and they are built up on their most holy faith? Wouldn't you like to see that in this hour? Wouldn't you like to see the power of the Spirit? Oh, I know we see Him from time to time, Brother Touchton, flowing through the church. And somebody said last week at that camp meeting, you saw the first house in its former glory, but how do you see it now? I tell you how I see it. I see it just like Jesus did. They were ready. They were chomping at the bit to be a part of the kingdom. They were ready for the kingdom to come. How many's ready to pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Oh yes, but he didn't just pray, "Thy kingdom come," but he prayed, "Thy will." Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've got to say it one more time. The rapture is not going to wake us up. If it wakes you up, my friend, you're too late for the alarm clock. There's no snooze button on the trump of God. But if you're the church anointed and the church appointed to the will of God and anointed by the Holy Ghost, you go up because you're in tune. You've got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in that hour. Stand with me all over the house. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me pray right here, church. Let me pray right here, church. Oh, hallelujah. Pentecost. And then, the Bible says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." He was already preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost that was promised in Acts 1 and verse 8. "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem." That's where Peter was standing. There were men from Judea. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And he's fulfilling the plan of Christ for the New Testament church all the way into the next chapter. He stood up. He said, "Men and brethren," he said, "you've got to understand what's going on." He lifted up his voice. He said, "These are not drunk as
you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass when? In the last days. As it was, Jesus said, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I wonder, is there anybody tonight? You look around and you see the signs, but you're not so much focused on the tone, focused on the signs around you, as you are focused on listening for the sound that is to come. He said, the prophet Joel, he said, this is that which was spoken. It shall come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters. Anybody got a son? Anybody got a daughter? You'd like to see them prophesy before the rapture. I said you'd like to see them used by the Holy Ghost. It shall come to pass. I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and then you'll see the sign, and then you'll hear the trumpet, and then you'll see the blood, and then you'll see the darkness. But before all of that, I'm pouring out my spirit before the vindication upon this world. There will be a visitation upon the church. Come on, meet me in this altar here tonight as they play and sing. Hallelujah. Pentecost, and then the rapture.